Okay, let's pray. Lord, I do ask that you'd help us know the doctrine of this passage, and if there's some things we can apply to this day, help us to understand them. And I pray you'd help us to be faithful to your words in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, the first couple verses are unusual verses, and how do you apply them today? Where it says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits." How do you try spirits? Talk to them? What spirits is he talking about? Now, there's been times where I get an impression in mind, and I may ask in my mind, does that spirit that just gave me that impression confess that Jesus Christ is coming to flesh? And then I think, and to me, that's, you know, how do I know which one's talking to me? You know, how many of you have ever tried the spirit? Yes, I try people. You know, and the words that they say. But I've never talked to, some person, one of these people you've heard about that where they talk in a different voice, where they've conjured up so-and-so who's 10,000 years old. And you try that spirit. Believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already it is in the world. Well, you can see there's a real split there between the spirit of Antichrist and the spirit of God. But how do you do that today? I don't know if you ever thought about that. I've talked to, and I'm sure many of us have, people of other different belief systems, and you can try them, and you can test them, and you can ask them questions, but this isn't saying try the individual. This is not saying try the flesh and blood. This is not saying try the belief system. This said try the spirits. In other words, test the spirits. Okay, now, if you would look at Malachi 2, verse 14. Now, sometimes we could use the word spirit like the spirit of man. Could be a reference to your attitude. Okay, an attitude about something. Malachi 2:15. I think it has that phrase once. And 16. About two-thirds down into the verse, let's see, in verse 15 it starts off with a question, a second question, then a statement, and then it says, "Therefore take heed to your spirit." I think the modern vernacular is watch your attitude. Okay, but take heed to your spirit. And then verse 16, about two-thirds into it, it again says, "Therefore take heed to your spirit." And then it says that you deal not treacherously. So, now I believe that when a thought comes in a person's mind today, you need to analyze that thought and then ask yourself and try to consider it. Okay, where did this thought come from? Did this thought come from God, the devil, or me? I think that's part of trying the spirits, and I think that's how you and I can apply it today practically. Okay, so when you have a thought or an idea came to your mind, and you got to analyze that, and so, okay, what do I do? Okay, where did that come from? Did it come from God? If it matches the Scripture, I guess it could come from Him. Well, if it's just a slap, a little bit off the Scripture, well, it could either be the devil or me, and so, but, you know, that's kind of trying ideas or thoughts. This said, try the spirits. So, does this, to me, the way to look at this is if we look at it doctrinally, And remember, doctrinally, 1 John is aimed at a time when Antichrist are on earth, verse 3. We know that as the tribulation. So, what is it really going to be like on earth in the tribulation? I think Thief in the Night and Left Behind series are fair shows, and it gets people to think. But I don't really believe that we can imagine how bad it's going to be in the tribulation. Trying the spirits, okay? What is this talking about? Well, I'd say it's going to be pretty wild in the tribulation. If you would look in Hebrews 13, verse 2. Remember, Hebrews is written about the last days. So the time period is the same time period as 1 John. And I think in Hebrews 13, 2, it says something about entertaining strangers. And that some have entertained angels unawares. Is that verse 2? I think verse 3, remember the bonds. Entertaining means like invite them into your house. It's not that you bring them in your house and you do a tap dance in front of them, entertain them. But this says entertain or be hospitable, bring a stranger into your house, because some people have had somebody in their house and they didn't know it was an angel. No, I've never had that experience. So is there going to be a time period on earth when angels will be regularly on earth and it will be a commonplace thing? Well, is there going to be a time period on earth when the other side of the coin, the Antichrist, is going to be pretty common? Revelation chapter 12, what happens with the devil when he gets in a fight with Michael? He gets cast out of heaven, and where does he go? To earth with what? One third of the fallen angels. So here, down on earth, during this scene, during the tribulation, it is going to be a wild scene. And then if you keep reading in Revelation 12, remember Revelation 12 mentions that there's a dragon that's going to suck water out of the Jordan River, and it's going to take the water and blow it out at the Jews as they're trying to run to Petra. All these, you take all the Twilight Zone pictures that people have had in the past, all the Godzilla, all the King Kong, all the ETs, and put all that together worldwide, and fallen angels walking on the earth 12 and 13 feet tall, going around with the peace sign, two fingers up, and everybody worldwide on TV, where they will have fortune tellers and tea leaf readers and spirits talking through all people at all time, that's going to be a wild scene. And I think that's just the tip of the iceberg, what we're going to envision what the tribulation is going to be like. Okay, now, is this what people expect? If you would look in Acts 14:12. What is the United Nations and Hollywood and the media and the world situation, the world spirit, trying to get people ready for? What are they getting them ready for? What are the movies glorifying? They are glorifying beings coming down and walking on earth. Okay, the Pope. What is another name they call a pope? A pontiff. Okay, a pontiff. What is a pontiff? It's an abbreviation of the word pon, P-O-N. A pon in the old days was a priest that bridged the gap between the beings up there and the people down here. And I dare say, and I'm still of the idea, that the woman in Revelation 17 is still the mother whore. I do believe the mother whore goes down to the wilderness riding the beast, the Muslims, trying to get their way with the Muslims, and they're going to turn around and kill her. Just like what the Pope did recently. Example of that recently. Remember what the Pope said something about the Muslims? And so he tried to go over to Turkey to kind of, smooth things over. I still kind of am thinking that way. Okay, but still, The idea is that he's trying, the Pope and company are still trying to ride this thing out because he's the pontiff who can bridge the gap between the things up there and the people down here. Acts 14:12, you remember when Paul and, who was it, Barnabas, at this time they were together because 15 they had to fight. Acts 14:12, they had a great miracle. And notice what the people expected, verse 11. And when the people saw that what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Lyconia, the gods are come down to us in the likeness of men. And they called Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercurius because he was the chief speaker. And then they had a priest, okay, a priest or a pontiff of Jupiter. He's a guy who's trying to bridge the gap between the beings up here and the humans down here, because you see, they are the advanced life. They are the advanced thinkers. You know, we're trying to evolve up there someplace. Then the priest of Jupiter, which was before the city, brought oxen and garlands unto the gates and would have sacrificed with the people. They were going to give a sacrifice to Paul and Barnabas because they thought these guys were gods. And then when the apostles, Paul and Barnabas, heard of it, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out, saying, "Sirs, why do you these things? We are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that you should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and has seen all things that are therein." Okay, and then when you criticize your religion, notice what the response will be, verse 19, they stone them. Okay, so this is part of Greek mythology. Okay, Greek mythology talks about Zeus and Jupiter and Mercurius and the god Pan. Okay, Peter Pan. And of course, many products, international products usually, are named after pagan gods. And what they're trying to revive, most likely, is the lost city of Atlantis. You know, that when Satan was running the program. And what do they give the gods in those cities? Is they give them sacrifices. Usually it's baby sacrifices like the Jews and many people did in the Old Testament. Okay, and multiple perversions. So, if a person is living on earth in a tribulation, how is the only way he's going to get his life spared? Well, he's going to have to try the spirits. Like if a person's life is in danger, or if a person lives in an oppressed society, the only way for their lives to be spared is to be very cautious. Example, when Brother Felipe picked up Mr. Walid at the airport, he sees Felipe and he sees another Arab. And it's kind of scary for Walid, for who he thinks of Middle Eastern descent. And so he asked him for God so loved the world. And then he had him repeat the passage. Oh, then you're okay. What's he doing? He's trying the individual. Now, the tribulation time period, it's try the spirits. Try the spirits. Why? Is because the spirits will be so deceptive and they'll be like Christ, and so you got to pinpoint, you got to nail them down and pin them down and get them to say something about Jesus Christ. They don't want to talk about Jesus Christ. The name that's above every name is what spirits don't want to hear. They'll talk about Christ. They'll talk about Jesus. They'll talk about God. And they'll talk about these as spirit beings, but like the Muslims say, Allah did not have a son. And so that's why the question is here, do you confess that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, meaning He's God in the flesh? And if their spirit don't confess that, then you got them nailed. You know what they are. But that's the thing is okay, today, with 6,000 years of history, the devil has been mastered enough our terminology. And so if you ask somebody, have you been born again? If they say yes, you've got to find out what they mean. What do you mean by being born again? A Mormon means one thing, a Catholic means another thing. You and I believe something totally different. Okay, what do you mean by Jesus Christ? When did you get Jesus Christ? And so that's what he's talking about as far as trying the Spirit. So if the tribulation time period is going to be such a wacky thing, and they're talking to somebody, and all of a sudden this demonic voice comes up out of them, and you try that spirit. Test it out. So, we are not to believe everything that we're told. Verse 1, beloved, believe not every spirit. The common saying, don't believe everything you hear. But try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Notice many, many, many. Okay, and that is a sign of the second coming of Christ. Okay, Matthew 24, verse 4 and 5. The disciples asked Jesus about signs of his coming. And the first thing he said in Matthew 24, verse 4, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Notice, he didn't say, I am Jesus Christ. He said, I am Christ. Okay, 2 Corinthians says there's another Jesus. Matthew 24, 24 shows that there is another Christ, false Christ. There shall arise false Christs and false prophets. And 1 Corinthians 8, verse 4 says there's many lords. So the counterfeit is going to come out there and really deceive people. And so the person who is alert, what's going to preserve you and I? Proverbs 2, verse 11 says, discretion shall preserve thee. So it sounds kind of like a person's got to be pretty jumpy or pretty untrustworthy or pretty skeptical. Okay? And I dare say that's okay. Isn't the Bible strange where you have somebody at the beginning of the book is a perfect man in a perfect garden, and at the end of the Bible you've got a prophet who's exiled under persecution. Starts off with perfection and ends up with persecution. And the faithful martyr, Revelation 2, verse 13, the faithful martyr is a guy named Antipas. Now, how would you like that name? Antipas. The P-A-S is the word, is synonymous with the word pan. As in Pan-American, that means all American. So if a person's name is Antipas, what does his name mean? He's against everything. You talk about a guy that's negative. Here the guy is against everything. You know, the world says this, and he says, I'm against it. Next thing comes down the line, he says, I'm against it. Next thing comes down the line, new fad, new fashion, Antipas says, I'm against it. People say, man, you're against everything. He said, yeah, that's my name. And the closer we get to Christ's coming, the more things you and I are going to have to preach against. You know, for example, sodomy. I do not like discussing that sin. I do not like bringing that sin up. But it's so perverted nowadays, and people are so wicked nowadays. I mean, somebody told me at Rensselaer this morning that some guy up north, maybe some of you heard it, is goofing around with chickens. Being a pervert with chickens. You talk about a weird society. You know, and so Revelation 2:13, Antipas, the closer we get to the coming of Christ, you've got to try everything out. And there's going to be times when you're going to feel like, man, oh man, I can't trust anything. And that's how you're going to feel. And at times you're going to get worn out with it. You say, how do you know? Because I get worn out with it. You know, like, it's like, remember when my K.I. was in jail? And was it Jehoshaphat and Ahab was going to go to battle? And they had kept my K.I. in jail. And Jehoshaphat said, well, let's hear from the Lord. And Ahab brings all Jezebel's prophets in, and they told him all this stuff. And Jehoshaphat said, ain't there somebody here that's going to at least speak the words of the Lord? And Ahab said, yeah, there's a guy named Micaiah, but I hate him. He's in jail. Well, I put him there. And Jehoshaphat said, well, let's find out what that guy's got to say. So here comes the prison guard. He gets Micaiah, and as they're walking up to see him, he is coaching Micaiah. He said, the one prophet said this, and the one said this, and the one said this. Can't we just all get along? Why don't you just get along? You'd probably get out of jail if you just get along with them. So when he gets up in front of the king, he gives a standard line. But Jehoshaphat knew that this guy did not say, thus saith the Lord. He was just kind of playing around with them. And so then he says, what did the Lord say? And then Micaiah said, thus saith the Lord. And now he's going against the party line. And then Ahab said, see, I told you he's going to preach against me. It's all he does. He's just so negative. He just can't get along. His type, we need to put in concentration camps because they just won't fit in. And you know, that's what a fella said back in the 1970s. Do you remember when Everett Sullivan was the first church that was padlocked in modern-day history in America? In Louisville, Nebraska? Remember when that got started? Brother Roloff was one of the first. He was probably the point man that learned these things. And Everett Sullivan was one of the first where his church was actually padlocked by the sheriff and county and the judge and everything. And they had a small Christian school of less than 30 students, and it was such a big deal they had to padlock the church. And somebody interviewed a political figure at that time and said, what's the big deal? It's a little Christian school. And the guy said, those children, we have intentions by 2000 to usher in a society, and those children will not fit in. See, now they didn't get their 2000 in, did they? They've got plans, but the Lord always seems to mess them up. It's always a blessing. Okay, but you see, that's the thing is what's the world say to unite? Conform, conform, conform. What's God say? Be not conformed. And so how do we do that? Try the spirits. Try the spirits. Try the spirits. Verse 1, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. So, many false prophets. How are you going to get outside of the Bible, what would be a characteristic of the false prophets? Let's try 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Outside of the Bible. Obviously, we can use the Bible to show a false prophet, but let's discount the Bible in this fact. And so, what would be a characteristic of a false prophet? 2 Peter 2, verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, large crowd, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. Money makers. Rick Warren. You know, what's that? Purpose-driven life. You know, he's supposed to be one of the men in the modern age who can affect the world. Rick Warren. He's a CFR member. 33rd degree Mason. Okay? And what does he do? He makes money off people. Merchandise. Verse 3. Money. Money, money. All the guys on TV. Send in your seed, faith, vow, blah, blah, blah. Money, 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 money. They're always bringing up money. Okay? Always grubbing the people. Now, obviously, we can go right to the Bible itself and find the false prophet. Chapter 4, verse 2. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Now, there's a new thing coming around in some of these Bible believers. You know, it's kind of corny. But these young men walk up to a preacher. Do you confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh? And it's like, you know, some secret oath that you got to, if you don't do that, then you're not a real Bible believer. And I guess one of these guys pulled this on Ruckman, and he just laughed at him. And knowing this guy, the guy probably walked out and said, oh, I knew Ruckman was Antichrist. You know, that's not even what this is aimed at. It's not even talking, it's asking you to ask a flesh and blood man to confess that Jesus Christ is coming to flesh. This is dealing with a spirit. Okay, every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is coming to flesh. For example, if one of these Mother Gia types, these New Agey types, when they get in their little trance and starts talking through a higher intelligence of the past, you know, and they put some of these on TV, it would be a great show as one of these people get in these trances and, oh, so-and-so's come back, he's 35 years old, and he's blah, 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 blah. And at that time, right in the middle of the show, ask the Spirit, do you confess that Jesus Christ is coming to flesh? And at that time, that person go, you talk about blowing the circuit breakers. Now, of course, if they did that, what would the news media do? Stop the camera, let's start all over. This person has disrupted the vibes. We need to cart them out. That's what John Ankerberg did in that debate with Sam Gipp and those guys. Very similar thing. Ankerberg, you remember that story? If we got Gipp's videos on this. Where one time in that series, it was asked the New American Standard guy something about these new Bible teachers losing their voice. And when that question was asked, coincidentally, the person couldn't answer the question. And when the person tried answering the question, he said, I can't speak. And you can hear giggling. And that's Gipper laughing. And then Ankerberg said, after about a minute, minute and a half of this, Ankerberg said, stop the tape. Okay, and then back it up, and then they cut all that out, and then he asked him the question again, and then the guy said, well, of course, you can see I haven't lost my voice, and that's where I heard the giggling. Okay, that at that point you hear giggling in the back, and that's Gipper on the other side laughing because they cut the tape. Now, why did he leave that in there? You say, well, the guy really didn't lose his voice. He didn't, but it was still funny. That happened at that question. And here you got on five people on one side who are anti-King James, and then Ankerberg, anti-King James, and then three guys, I would say it looked like to me one of them was a Bible believer, and the other two seemed more TR, but at least they were on the same side of the fence. All supposed to be born-again Christians. And Sam said that when during the break, you know, born-again Christians, you know, unity and harmony and fellowship, let's talk amongst each other. He said it was quiet as anything. Okay, and isn't that something? Okay, but the idea here is trying the spirits. The spirit, unclean spirits, when you're dealing with unclean spirits, it is of utmost importance to use the full name of Jesus Christ. Not just Jesus, not just Christ. In fact, you can use the Lord Jesus Christ. Specifically, the word the Lord Jesus Christ. The more name, for example, when you got in trouble as a child, when you heard first name, middle name, you knew there was authority calling. And you knew that you were in trouble. Okay, and so you want to use the full name of Jesus Christ to let the unclean spirits know that they're in trouble. Okay, and that is of utmost importance. And you want to get yourself in the habit of saying Jesus Christ. When you're dealing with people on the street, not just Jesus only, get in the habit of using the full name of Jesus Christ. And when you read Paul's writings, you will notice that Paul will write Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus the Lord, because there's power in that name. And there's no confusion when you put all that in there. Okay, and so that is of utmost importance. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is coming to flesh is of God. It's Jesus Christ is the breaking point. Of all the world religions, okay, they'll use the word God generically. That's acceptable. Okay, they'll even use the word Lord. That's acceptable. But when you bring up the name Jesus Christ, that's where you'll get the dividing point. Okay, you cannot... There's already been some places in our country, I think Florida is one place, where you cannot pray in the name of Jesus Christ. You can pray, you know, in the name of the Father, you can pray in Allah, you can pray in God, but you cannot pray in the name of Jesus Christ. That's the name they don't want to hear because that's the name they're going to bow to. So, when you're around unclean spirits, use the name Jesus Christ. Okay, when I down at Danville, when those guys are singing or attempting to sing, and they sing the same songs every week, seven songs, of the seven, and there's always four of the same. While they're doing that, I am in the back putting on my spiritual armor, and I am running through this prayer at least two times. I'm sitting there praying by the sovereign authority of the Lord Jesus Christ over this place known as Danville Correctional Facility. I bind all unclean spiritual forces of evil who are against the Lord Jesus Christ. And I read through this prayer out loud. I'm doing it while they're singing so they really can't hear me, but I know the spirits are hearing me. Okay, and I make sure that is all taken care of even before I get going. And boy, I've had a really good time down there. And I can really see fellas are really... learning some things in the book, it's been a real blessing. Okay, verse 3. Every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. Okay, the Muslims don't want to confess that. They don't want to believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son. Okay, many of the New Agey religions don't want to confess that. They don't want to believe that. And then it says, and this is that spirit of Antichrist, where have you heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world? Even now, at that time, 90 AD? Yes, most likely. It's already there, and it's just been building. It seems like the devil, to get his full shebang going, it takes him a couple thousand years. Okay, from Adam until the flood was about 2,000 years, about 1,700 years. Okay, and that's when God, you know, had the flood. Okay, from the flood to Christ, where there was a next major showdown, where Christ made a fool out of him and made a show out of him openly, again, about 2,000 years. And so here we are again, about 2,000 years, the ball of wax is going more and more, sodomy is getting more and more accepted, okay, and... Spiritism is getting more and more accepted. Mormonism is full and running over. Muslims full and running over. Satanism is full and running over. Okay, and it seems like he's really having his way. And so, looking for the one coming on white horse, you know, and put him back in his place. Verse 4, ye are of God little children. And again, the reason why he uses the word little children is because if doctrinally this is a tribulation passage, and if they've just recently became righteous in the tribulation, the max of spiritual age they could be is 3 to 3.5 years old. That's the max. That's by the time you get to the end. Hence they call them little children. And have overcome them, the spirits of verse 1, 2, and 3, overcame them, you overcome them by the blood of the Lamb, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Now that's just a statement. Okay, now that's a popular statement that charismatics like to use. And when they use that statement, they're implying that because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world, they imply that you are immune to the devil's works. That's the implications. But you are not. This is just a simple statement that God, Jesus Christ, is greater than the one that's in the world, or the Spirit of Jesus Christ, the Holy Ghost, is greater than the Spirit of the Antichrist. But that doesn't mean that you and I cannot be harmed, influenced, deceived, hindered, oppressed, indwelled. What other words could I use? By the devil's crowd. Okay, remember in the Bible that spirits are depicted by winged creatures. Birds, flies, mosquitoes. So, is anybody arrogant enough that they say, I'm immune, I can't get bit by a mosquito? Is anybody arrogant enough or that they think, oh, a fly wouldn't land on me? Okay, if a fly can land on you and a mosquito can suck blood out of you, then so can an unclean spirit. And so that's why we have to be on guard at all times, have our spiritual guard. Now, you know, I don't think a person, you know, if you're going to debate whether a spirit can come in you or on you, it doesn't really matter. You know, people say, well, I don't believe they can indwell a Christian. Well, I do, but it really, again, it doesn't matter. The same effect takes place. Okay, like, who is it? Pigpen? Is he on Snoopy? I get some of those. Pigpen, is he the dirty guy? Okay, everywhere Pigpen goes, dirt ends up someplace. Okay, take the dirt off him and put flies around him. Okay, if a guy knocks on your door and he's got 100 flies buzzing around his head where you could actually see the flies, he comes in your house. When he leaves your house, are all flies going to go with him as in a magnet, or one or two flies going to hang around? Well, obviously, most likely, a couple are going to hang around. Okay, now, if you've got a demon-possessed guy in your front door, you can't see the flies. Will some of those spirits hang around? I believe so. Okay, if you're walking through Walmart and you see a guy that's got 100 flies buzzing around his head, you could see the flies buzzing around his head. No doubt you're going to look and you're going to avoid. But again, we can't see the spirit world. So if some of these people, as we're walking around, if they've got a bunch of devils on them, does that mean those devils may not jump off on them and attach to you or I? Now, I'm not saying that we have to walk around, look under every rock, and think there's a devil there. But I do believe that if a person, this is why it's so dangerous to befriend or to hang around the wrong crowd, is because you pick up that spirit. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. And I'll tell the story again, and I want to tell this story time and time again, because this was something that I personally witnessed and personally a part of. It was several years ago, a friend of mine or an acquaintance of mine wanted me to get involved in a Bible study. It was with an apostolic group. I got involved with the Bible study and was involved with it for about 8 months. After 8 months, he wanted me to talk to this young man. The young man is around 23 years old. This young man was a problem in the apostolic church movement. They had put him in a nut house. They could not help this kid. They just could not figure this kid out. This gentleman wanted to help this young man, and he asked if I would talk to him. By this point in our relationship, he would bring family members to me and I'd witness to him. That's what he wanted me to do. I won his brother to the Lord. Okay, and so he wanted me to talk to this young man, and I went over to his place. They were shelling corn at the time. I got in the car. He said, I want you to talk to this kid. So the kid gets in the car, passenger seat. I'm in the driver's seat, and I get talking to this kid. And I could tell this kid's possessed. I mean, he's got, you know, I couldn't see the devils, but I knew that he had about 100 flies buzzing around inside his head. And when I was talking to him, he would stare at me. On 3 occasions, he tried staring through me. Okay, and so he's going, you know, when you're talking to somebody and they're looking at you and trying to look through you, you know, that's annoying, intimidating to some. And so he did that three times to me in within an hour time period conversation. So when he did that, I put my hands in front of his eyes, got his eyes to blink. I said, don't do that to me. You know, because the spirits inside him was trying to mess around with my thinking. So he cut it out. And after an hour, I part company and I talked to this fella. I said, you don't know how to handle that kid, and I would advise you to deal with him. You know, my advice was run. Because it was beyond his capacity, and I don't think the kid wanted help. And if the kid don't want help, what are you going to do? So, okay, this was December. This was the beginning of December. First week in December, I can remember this. Well, in January, 1 month later, about 5 weeks later, Jen and I, our family, took a trip down to Florida. So I missed a couple Bible studies. And this fella had, I gave him some money. He was going to purchase me a couple guns. That's off the tape. A couple guns unregistered, so they're going to be in his name. And so he didn't have a problem with that. So I stopped by his house on a Saturday night at 5 o'clock. We were going by, and I just thought, I'm just going to stop and see if he's got the guns. And he ran out of the house. And I just said, hey, you got them guns that I wanted to get? And he said, I'm late. I got to go out to eat. I'll see you Monday. I said, okay. 10 o'clock at night, he shot himself. 5 hours later. And of course, that was a shock. And I got to talk to his brother. I said, what happened? He said, Bob started acting like that kid. Why did it happen so fast? Another thing this man was into is he got into meditation. He got into this where you get inside and you take a little cubicle, fill it with water, put Epsom salt in the water to the point where you float on the water. Okay, some health places have these things. And then they would meditate. And he asked me what I thought of it. This was prior to this. I told him after I read what he's trying to do, I said, it's okay if you have active meditation. You must think in there about scripture or something. That way, if it's just the health part, you're fine, but you have to be thinking actively. Passive meditation is demonic. Active meditation is biblical. Okay, meditate on the Word of God. And then he said, well, you need to have an open mind. I said, my mind is open until it crosses Scripture, and then it's closed. Well, he, from his brother's testimony, in his meditation time, he had one vision, two visions. The second one scared him to the point that's when he walked out to the barn and killed himself. What am I saying? I'm saying the devil's crowd is not something to be messing around with. You know, young people, the seances, that is not just a funny little game. The witch cards, Harry Potter, that is not a funny little game. That's life and death. Okay, and these unclean spirits that's getting stronger and stronger in our country, that's why we have to have our spiritual armor on. We have a great promise in this book. Where sin abounds, grace doth much more abound. Okay, and so, yes, he that is in us is greater than he that's in the world, but that doesn't mean that we should drop our guard. And that doesn't mean we should try to live a holy life and draw close to Jesus Christ, because He is going to be the one who guards us. Okay, so that's 1 John 4, verse 4. Okay, so we'll stop there. Lord, thank You for Your goodness. And Lord, I do pray that You'd help us to recognize, take heed to our spirit. And I pray You'd help us to recognize unclean spirits. And Lord, I just pray that You'd help us to have the full armor of God in order to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. In Jesus' name, amen.